Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in Habakkuk 3 called A Song of Hope 2.
Who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him? You see, Almighty God came down in the very history in which we are embedded. Much more could be said, but these are all reminders. See, what we need to remember is who our God is when we're going through difficult times. And yes, it can be hard. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. Cushan was the first nation that opposed Israel when they were in the Promised Land. And here's what happened. Israel got into the Promised Land. They defeated Jericho, and they were supposed to take it all, and then they got themselves in trouble. You know what they did? They started to slide back to their old ways. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here's Judges 3, 7 through 10. It says, "And the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God, served the Baals and the Ashereth, two false deities. And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia." Does that sound familiar to you? That's what's happened in Habakkuk's time. This happened before, but in Habakkuk's time, God sold Israel into Babylon's hand. That's what we read in Habakkuk 1, 5, and 6, and Daniel 1, about the first three verses, right? God gave them over to Nebuchadnezzar. God gave them over to Babylon. Why does God do that? Well, because they were doing evil in his sight. And notice, this happened. He sold them into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia, and they served this Cushan Rishathaim for 8 years. That's a long time. When the sons of Israel finally got sick and tired of it, God bless you, they cried to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer or a judge. In this case, it was Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he brought deliverance. Now, you would think that's the end of the story, right? You ever read the book of Judges? If you read the book of Judges, you know the cycle is on rinse and repeat. Because they would get delivered, and then, I know this is shocking, they would do it again. And then they go into the washing machine. Help, help, help! Another judge is raised up. All right, door's open. You think that's the end of the story, right? They're not going to do it again now. All the stains are out. No. There they go, right back in. Cushan was that first one. Notice the tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Midian was taken by Gideon. That's Judges 6 through 8. And he was kind of an unexpected judge, and the people were under the oppression of the Midianites, and God raised up Gideon, who, by the way, was in hiding and said, "I'm the weakest dude around, and my family is nothing, and how could you use me?" And the Lord did. And when the Lord defeated the Midianites and other armies, he did it through a miraculous thing that just caused confusion and caused them to fight among themselves. See, God was there, and he caused distress to be on Cushan in Midian. Much could be said, but let's move on. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was thine anger against the rivers? Or was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride on thy horses and on thy chariots of salvation? Beautiful. We can think of the Egyptian army as God, you know, let the sea come back on them and their chariots. But this story is probably also from the book of Judges, and it comes from Judges 4 and 5. Here's what happened. The nation, the sons of Israel, did evil again in the sight of the Lord, Judges 4, 1, after Ehud had died, one of the judges, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in that place. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. You ever think about choices that you make could ripple out for a while, perhaps decades? This is the scene. I wrote about this in the devotional book, if you've read it. Imagine you live in a small town, and a foreign army has invaded the area, and in your small town where cars used to be parked and commerce was going on, there's all these tanks lined up. and you can't leave your home unless they let you leave. You have no more freedom. And these tanks, which are modern chariots, if you will, are there to tell you, you are defeated, you have no freedom, and somebody stronger than you is now your oppressor. What do you do then? Well, they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a woman named Deborah. And Deborah stirred the nation like a mama bear. She said, we got to fight. And all of a sudden, they raised up and fought. And God used another woman. She's probably the heroine of the story. Her name was Jael. And you know what Jael did to the commander? She wooed him into her tent as he was running away from the battle. And she gave him a little warm milk, told him a little bedtime story, gave him a little teddy bear. And then she took a tent peg. Have you read it before? And she didn't set up the tent with it. She put it into his skull. Yeah, it's the Bible. And Deborah's song is sung in Judges 5. And here's the end of it. It says, the stars fought from heaven. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The torrents of the Kishon, that's the river, swept them away. It made their chariots nothing. The ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon, what's it say? Oh, my soul, march on with strength. That's my title. I was sitting in a Wednesday night service. Elder Craig was teaching the word of God. And that verse leapt off the page at me. And I was like, whoa, I've never seen that before. And that's cool. Little did I know it would become the title of a book I've just written. And it's all based upon this song. And it's, notice, the horse's hoofs beat from the dashing of his valiant steeds. And it's the poetry of the Bible saying God came in when it looked so dark. It looked like everybody was done. Nobody was going to move again. How do you overcome these chariots sitting there parked in your hometown until God shows up? And then he uses the river and he uses the torrent because they thought their gods were over the river and the storm. And God says, no, the river and the storm belong to me. Amen. Your bow was made bare. Your rods of chastisement were sworn. Your bow was made quite ready, New King James. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. See that word chastisement? That may be a shift now to God dealing with his people. The rods of chastisement. Your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. Did I read that right? How does a rod comfort? A rod is a tool of correction. But we can find comfort when God corrects us. And then right after the rods of chastisement or correction are mentioned, there's the second Selah. Pause. Think. Here's what Habakkuk knows. Chaldeans are coming because God's using them to correct us. Does God still correct his people who are in the new covenant? All God's people said, yes. Those whom I love. Revelation 3:19, I discipline. See, God's correction in your life is actually validation that you are a genuine child of God. So that's one reason to rejoice, is that if you get a spanking and nobody likes it, at least you know he cares enough to be paying attention to your waywardness. And Israel got a lot of spankings. And, you know, sometimes it's just hard for people to learn. They were called stiff-necked and difficult. Verse 10, the mountain saw you and quaked. The downpour of the waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted its hands as if the river saying, okay, I know you're tough and great. I give up. I worship. The creation will do what a lot of people won't do. This is all poetic, but you get the picture, right? Creation is personified, given personality, as if the river was doing a little bit of this, as if the mountains were raising up their hands. Are you afraid to raise up your hands to your Creator? Why? Here it says, the deep uttered forth its voice. Sun and moon, 11, stood in their places. This is probably a reference to the battle of Gibeon under Joshua. They went away at the light of thine arrows, at the radiance of thy gleaming spear. This is that famous elongated day against five different armies. They go to Gibeon. Joshua gets there. And he says to the Lord, paraphrasing, let the sunlight stay out so that we can finish off the enemy. And God extended the day. And some people say, how could God extend the day?
Did he slow down the rotation of the earth? Did he did he do something about the axis of the earth? He made it. Amen? I mean, we don't have to come up with all the scientific answers. If he wanted to do it, if he slowed the day down, then he slowed the day down. Maybe he just decided to make the sun a little brighter for a couple more hours. He extended the day. And he answered Joshua's prayer. Give us more light so we can take these guys out. God said, all right. And then he just spoke to the sun. He called the sun over just for a minute. Hey, can you stay up a couple hours extra today? That's it. Okay, you didn't find that humorous, so that's all right. In indignation, thou did march to the earth. In anger, thou did trample the nations. Thou did go forth. Why did God do all this? For the salvation of your people. 13. For the salvation of your anointed, that may speak of the house of David or the remnant. You did strike the head of the house of evil, of the evil, to lay him open from thigh to neck, and another Selah.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, he'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
You can listen to Pastor Michael's teachings on the Walk in Truth podcast as well. You'll find Walk in Truth on your favorite podcast app like YouTube, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more. Now you can listen to Pastor Michael's teachings in 1 Corinthians and many other books of the Bible on your morning walks, maybe on your evening bike ride, or when you're cooking in the kitchen. Never miss a moment of Pastor Michael's teachings with the Walk in Truth podcast available in your favorite podcast app. Subscribe for free today. And thanks.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And then he just spoke to the sun. He called the sun over just for a minute. Hey, can you stay up a couple hours extra today? That's it. Okay, you didn't find that humorous, so that's all right. In indignation, thou did march to the earth. In anger, thou did trample the nations. Thou did go forth. Why did God do all this? For the salvation of your people. 13. For the salvation of your anointed, that may speak of the house of David or the remnant. You did strike the head of the house of evil, of the evil, to lay him open from thigh to neck, and another Selah. Have you ever heard a song sung in church that said, you laid him open from thigh to neck, Selah, Selah? That's what you call one of those imprecatory psalms. You cut open the house, the leader of the house of the evil. Wow, that's like one of those movies, But here it is. And this may point to Pharaoh, it may point to Nebuchadnezzar. Ultimately, the evil one, Satan, will be finally vanquished. Amen. That's going to be a glorious day. Amen. Thou did pierce with his own spears the head of his throngs. You brought it back on him. They stormed to scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. The NIV says, "You, with his own spear, you pierced his head." You can think of Goliath when David took him down and cut off his head with his own sword. Oftentimes in war, God would confuse the enemy or turn them on each other. Thou did tread on the sea with thy horses. On the surge of many waters, God is seen coming to dominate and judge. And because it swung to Habakkuk's own people, he says these words. This is the end of that main section. I heard, and my inward parts trembled, my heart pounded. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Now, after having this incredible experience with God, he still snaps back to reality. Nebuchadnezzar's coming with his armies, and they're going to take the land. What can I do? Sometimes when we face things like this, We do all the woulda, shoulda, couldas, if only. Sometimes we look at our nation and we say, if only, we shoulda, I coulda. Maybe you think about your family. Maybe you think about decisions you've made over the years. And we do the, I shoulda, I woulda, I coulda, but I didn't. But that does us no good. What we have to deal with is the right now. We have to deal with our soul being able to move forward despite what might be coming around the corner. And strong faith, brethren, please hear this, is not incompatible with fleshly weakness. There are times when you're going to feel very weak and times when you're going to feel very strong. Here's 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Stick with me, just a little bit more to go. For we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, says Paul, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Amen? We go through things that are way bigger than us, and we do it so that we might trust the Lord. Now, Habakkuk will give us some of the most moving verses in all the Bible, and he says these words, though the fig tree should not blossom, 17, there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive, huge market in that part of the world, should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult or rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is not saying, if the stock market crashed, I'll rejoice. If eggs were $10 a dozen, I will rejoice. He's not saying, if I lost my job and it's been a while since I've had work, I will rejoice. Or he's not saying, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, but I will rejoice. He's saying, if I lost everything, no fruit, no olive, no cattle, nothing less, I will still rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Do you know who picked up that? Probably from the book of Habakkuk. The Apostle Paul in a Philippian jail, when he wrote in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, Paul, how could you say that? You're in prison. Because Jesus was enough. If you lost everything tomorrow, would the Lord be enough? What if you were Job? What if everything was taken away from you tomorrow? Your loved ones, your livelihood, your health. What if everything was gone? You know, here's the truth. Most of us will never experience that, at least to that degree. But most of us have a hard time rejoicing with all the blessings we have now. You see, if you could grasp the time that you live on the earth and the blessings that are at your fingertips right now, I don't think we'd ever complain again. But the truth is, we probably do our share of complaining right now, even with everything we have to rejoice in. And Habakkuk is showing us that whatever may be around the corner, God is enough. And I say this with some fear and trembling because I know my own heart. But he says, look, I'm going to rejoice even though Babylon is around the corner. Not if this happens, but when this happens, I will rejoice. And then, you know, Paul goes on to say, I'm going to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I'm going to let my request be made known to God. And his peace, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard my heart and my mind. I'm going to focus on what's good and lovely and beautiful. And he said it in jail. William Cowper, who was the English poet, suffered from acute mental disease and illness. He knew personally Habakkuk's testimony, and he said in this great poem, he says, though vine nor fig tree neither their wanted fruits should bear, though all the fields should wither, nor flocks nor herds be there, yet God the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice. For while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice. The Lord God is my strength, 19. He has made my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me to walk on high places. You know, Paul goes on in Philippians 4 to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you think Paul was reading Habakkuk? I think so. He quoted it. He quoted Habakkuk 2:5 at least twice in the New Testament. And I think he was reading the book here and translated it to our current walk with Jesus. The Lord God is my joy and he's my strength. I've been praying lately, Lord, just pour that oil of gladness in my soul. pour your strength into my life. Let me walk on those high places that used to dominate me. The high places used to be places like for idolatry and so forth. On this rock, I will build my church. The gates of Hades won't prevail against it. You may be a little wobbly, but he can give you firm footing. And then finally, notice it ends by saying, for the choir director on my stringed instruments, confirming that this is a song to be played and sung. And that's the end of the story. That's the book of Habakkuk. Just one final thing to consider. Scholars have said the choir director there might ultimately point to Jesus himself as the ultimate choir director who leads the song of our lives. Here's one more from Ironside. And as his hand sweeps the wonderful strings of the hearts of his people, what strains of heavenly melody greet the ear of our God and Father? And salute the angelic hosts unnumbered who are learning through the church the manifold wisdom of God, close quote. Our choir master, our song leader, has conquered all of our enemies through the cross and then the resurrection. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound.
You've been listening to A Song of Hope 2, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 through 19. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, in this great ending to the book of Habakkuk, it's worth reading it one more time. Though the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. What a great ending to a book. It's probably one of the more powerful endings that we come across in books of the Bible. A great prayer, a great declaration of faith. And there it is. And there's the book of Habakkuk. Three chapters that we've moved through right here on Walk in Truth. Maybe you want to go back and revisit some of the teaching that we did in the book of Habakkuk. And the way you can do that is really two ways. One is to go to our website and you can go back and listen. You can podcast listen, or you can download the Walk in Truth app. I think that's three ways now. But probably the easiest thing to do is go back and listen to the Walk in Truth podcast. You can find it on all the normal platforms, or download the Walk in Truth app today. That will help you keep up with everything that's going on. You can listen on demand. You can listen to messages from previous books of the Bible. A lot there at your fingertips when you download the Walk in Truth app today. And I would encourage you to do it, because when you do, you can readily keep up. You can share messages. You can listen whenever you want. You can stop the message and pick it up halfway through. It's a great little tool. Download the great little tool. Download the Walk in Truth app today, and even share it with a friend. Tell people about the encouragement that you're receiving from this ministry. That'll help spread the word about it. And we appreciate you and we love you. God bless you.
We appreciate our Walk in Truth financial partners. You contribute to our ministry, broadcast, and podcast. As a thank you for your support, we've created the Walk in Truth app. If you'd like to become a Walk in Truth partner, any amount is appreciated. You can now give on the Walk in Truth app or visit walkintruth.com. And join us tomorrow for Pastor Michael's next series, Teaching in the Book of Malachi.
The last book that we know of in the Old Testament in terms of its date, and it is last in order, and that's because it is last in date from everything we understand. It's written around 420 BC, maybe even as late as 400 BC. And this is where you get the idea of the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. This has been called by scholars the intertestamental period for obvious reasons. It's the last book between Malachi and Matthew, and you have 400 years of what scholars have called divine silence. And that is that a prophet does not show up again in Israel until John the Baptist. And John the Baptist actually is even in the book of Malachi. There's a prophecy about him, which we'll look at in a moment.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.